Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's our brand new show here on the 27th of May, 2020. Great to be with you, Craig, along with Joe, of course, another edition of the show right here on Sports Grid every single day from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Whether there are sports, there are no sports, we are here for you to entertain you. We got you covered every single day with all the latest news in sports. And yeah, we start off the show today with some actual news about two of the major sports. And I have a feeling there'll be more to come, although we're not 100% certain on some of these things. But we waited yesterday, Joe, until late in the afternoon, and finally the big announcement from the NHL came down, which is essentially they're going to start things back up again with a 24-team playoff, time to be determined, date to be determined, location to be determined. But essentially a wild play-in game scenario that puts you in the bottom end, a top four seed fight, which would put you in the top end. But regardless of all of this, I think the important thing to note is that it looks like the NHL is going to try and play. Now, it doesn't look like they have exact dates yet. My assumption would be is that this is sometime either in July or August, because June would almost seem to be almost impossible to get this started. I mean, we're already here at the end of May. But certainly a good sign that they're trying. I would have loved to have more a definitive idea, but they did release a list also of some of the potential hub cities, and it looks like that they're going to try to do this in two cities, 12 teams a piece to start with. A wild and wacky scenario, but that's what we're left with at this point.
I feel like in that movie Dumb and Dumber where he says, where Jim Carrey's character Lloyd Christmas says, "So you're saying there's a chance? No date, no city. We're not sure where, we're not sure when, but it's gonna happen, we think, sort of, kind of."
Right.
Sports happening. It's gonna be a lot of teams. Or not, or maybe it really is. It's very Lloyd Christmas, and I don't know if this is going to be Dumb and Dumber or not, or if this is going to be fantastic. I'm hoping this happens. I told you, I am very excited for the prospect of playoff-style hockey, because playoff-style hockey is awesome. And for somebody who is a casual hockey fan like myself, it is it gets the juices going, man. Playoff hockey, and then on top of that, overtime playoff hockey, yes, please. And I would just wish there was some sort of at least window of time kind of mentioned in this plan. I do like the way they're talking about the top four teams playing for the seeding and then the lower eight. I think that's very cool, trying to figure that out. And of course, there's some other rules, too, that each team is limited to 50 people in those hub cities in order to travel. So in other words, it's the team, the traveling secretary, the equipment people. So there's limited. No one's traveling with these giant entourages.
Right. That's very important.
That is very important. And I think I'm glad that they have spelled that out, and hopefully other leagues will look at this. And I think all the leagues would behoove them not to all work together in some sort of concert to share good ideas with each other, because there's a lot of smart people working at these places, and maybe somebody in the NHL has a good idea that would help somebody in NBA and vice versa, and MLB, all these places. All I know is this is the first, even though it's a baby step, in the right direction, and I'm very grateful for it. How are you, Craig? Are you holding up? Are you excited, or you refuse to feel emotion yet?
I'm cautiously optimistic and excited. I would have loved a start date. I would have loved a city and a location, which tells me that there is.
Well, the NBA's got a location, so
I guess they've got that. I mean, it all feels surreal until it's real, I guess. You know, like, I think that that's how this is going to go down for me. Like, okay, the NHL has a nice plan, and they put some nice graphics together, and, like, we have nice graphics, too. But we're using the graphics. Regardless of that, I think that we should be cautiously optimistic that they can get something done, but make no mistake about it, there's still going to be a lot of hurdles to go through. But the idea that they're almost immediately going to have some play-in games and start a playoff is definitely exciting to me. So if the NHL is back, great.
Are you a hockey guy at all, or is it something you'd have to totally, you know, study up on and get integrated
well,
to?
Well, I mean, I would, first of all, see, with me, I keep it real. I would not be studying at all. And if hockey was the only thing on, then I'd be watching hockey. But honestly, if there's other competition, I would not be watching hockey.
So if NBA was back and hockey was back, what's winning for you?
It wouldn't even be close. I'd watch NBA.
Okay. There you go. I just figured I'd ask. I would actually flick back and forth. I would. Although I've made that pact with you that I was going to watch more NBA this year. So I'd like everything to come back. And this is my favorite thing. Everybody knows I'm just, you know, I'm a sucker for a good tournament. And I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's the best thing we could do in sports. It gets everybody excited. It makes all these games matter a little bit more. You know, the playoffs are all kind of old and damaged a little bit. Let's shake things up. But look, kind of like you're saying, this is the best thing we can hope for is small incremental steps forward. At least you're not moving backwards. So at least the NHL is there. And we also got some other news. The NFL, at least in New Jersey, where I live, my man, Governor Murphy, said that the Giants and Jets facilities are open. Go run some drills. So that's very exciting news as well, because that is certainly the step of getting those players in the NFL on the field. And if we're doing that before June, that's a very good indicator, I think, for the NFL.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, the NFL,
especially in this area where I am,
NFL's got months to figure it out, so they're in the best position. They could just keep saying, of course we're going to play. We're definitely going to play. I mean, of course I think that too, but
it's
very easy to say, yeah,
we're playing. One game a week is so much easier to manage and contain.
It is, but it's also in September, and we're only in almost June, and the other leagues have had to stop, and they're under a lot more pressure right now to get back going. It's just a different scenario. Speaking of which, also late yesterday, and I'm sure as we'll follow this story even into today, the owners of Major League Baseball and the Players Union ended up having some sort of discussions. Now, again, this is a very fluid story here. So, you know, keep in mind, things are going to be changing very quickly, rapidly, and opinions will too. There seemed to be some cautious optimism, I would have thought, over the last couple of days. From my own reporting, there had been just quiet and not a lot of talk, just to kind of let's see what they come up with type thing. And the owners essentially sent over what's being reported by both ESPN and also the USA Today, a proposal that essentially states that there's going to be some sort of sliding scale on salaries paid. It does not include revenue sharing. It includes paying the salaries of the players, with one pretty significant exception, which is that the highest paid players in the game would be forced to take significant pay cuts to essentially make up for the lower end players making $1.2 million or $1.3 million getting paid in full. So guys
sounds like Bernie Sanders is running MLB.
Guys like Garrett Cole,
top 1%.
Steven Strasburg, Bryce Harper
could play for the Marlins.
Manny
by
Machado. You know, essentially, when you look at it, and using any of those guys as an example, if they're making $30 million a year, they're already being cut down to making 15 because they're only going to be playing a half a season. And now what they're being asked to do is to make probably even like close to half of that. So the reports are, at least late yesterday, were coming in that clearly the players were not happy with this new version of the plan. So while I would love to be super optimistic at this point, and certainly by the time this show is over, we could have a different story, and we would give you that story if it did, it does appear as though some more work needs to be done before a deal gets done with baseball. And I don't want to go back to even thinking this is going to feel like 1994 again, because I don't remember being on social media doing this kind of media back in 1994. So I'm hopeful we're not headed in that direction, but it does not appear to be going as easy as everyone just accepted that, oh, it's going to be easy, and everyone realizes that they got to play. I mean, I guess not. That's all I got to say. I guess not.
Yeah, I think I was 15, 1994, I'm pretty sure, when the strike happened. So, yeah, it's I don't know, man. It's very difficult. It seems like nobody wants to give. And I mean, a good compromise at the end of the day is when everybody is unhappy, you know, where both sides are begrudgingly unhappy, but it's for the best interest of everybody to kind of live with that unhappiness. It's kind of like a good fantasy trade, right? I give something to you. I'm a little upset about it, but I'm getting something I want. But in the back of my mind, I'm a little tweaked about it. Same for you. That's how you know it's a good deal and everybody wins. And that's the kind of trade you want to make. I hope the owners and the players can figure this out between the two of them, because I keep saying this, if the NBA finds a way to move forward and the NHL finds a way to move forward and the NFL, as we all know, they'll be talking to Elon Musk and playing on Mars if they have to. It does not matter. Baseball, if they sit out, because at the end of the day, it's not about safety to them. It's about money. That's a tough sell to the fans. I'm telling you, it just really is. And Tom Glavine's right. The players will be the ones to take the brunt of it. Nobody's going to go and complain about the owners. They're going to complain that the highest paid guys weren't willing to take a pay cut. And it seemed like somebody has to take a cut somewhere. I am not a labor union executive. I can't tell you the ins and outs of this. All I can tell you is, Craig, I sure hope that they can figure out some kind of compromise here.
So should the players, main players, Joe, take their cuts? Should Gerrit Cole, who signed the biggest contract ever, play for his...
Well, it's very difficult because I look at everybody else. I look at so many friends and relatives that I have who work in the hospitality industry who are furloughed. And I look at so many people that I know who are my friends of mine who are bartenders and servers and people like that who are all furloughed and not working at all or all collecting unemployment. Everybody in America basically has taken some kind of hit in their salary. So at a certain point, when do baseball players not count as people in America? Like
But they're a union, and if somebody went in Sports Grid to Joe Pizzapia and said, "Hey Joe, here's the deal, everything's cool, you have to take a pay cut, nobody else, just
as long as my job is secure." I understand, because I think my job is not essential.
And you wouldn't have any animosity toward everybody else. You're the only one that's being asked to take a pay cut.
Let's put it to you this way: I've not here. But I've had plenty of moments like that throughout my illustrious career already. And for me and my perspective, it's more important to keep doing the thing that I want to do as long as I had some sort of guarantee that I was going to be able to keep doing it over a longer period.
And that's what the contract.
It's not like next year it doesn't come back. It's not like next year they don't get that same salary. I think you have to look at the long-term solution here and look at the short-term hit versus the long-term reward. This is guaranteed money. It's not like the NFL. This is guaranteed money. These guys aren't getting cut next year, the majority of them. That's the difference with baseball. The union is so strong and the money's all guaranteed. I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a bit of a hit where everybody else pretty much in this country is.
But I think everybody has to take the hit, not just the top guys.
Well, you don't think the owners are taking a hit here in revenue? You don't think the executives are taking
the top players? Asking just the best players to take less.
But you're also asking your executives who work. A lot of the executives have taken third salaries and even less and things like that. There's rumors that the Angels are laying off entire staffs. I mean, there's crazy stuff going on here. There's a lot of people that need to eat and put food on the table at the end of the day. And again, it's difficult to have sympathy for people going from $3 million a year to $300,000 for a single year. It's tough to justify that to the American public. I'm just telling you, as a man of the people, what the public is thinking, whether that's right or wrong. I think that's the mindset.
Well, we'll have to see as this story continues to percolate. Hopefully we'll get baseball back. If not, we'll go into Joe Pizzapia's garage, because we're going to have that coming up a little bit later. Some fun stuff Joe will bust out. We'll see if I recognize any of it. But coming up next, this day in fantasy sports and our fantasy sports birthdays, you're watching Sports Grid, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
In game live.
The NFL is doing something that they haven't really ever done before. And that is not about Monday night. It's not about Sunday night. But it's about Friday. They're going to have a game on Christmas Day, Jared, taking Friday another kind of like swipe at other sports.
The NFL is going to eat into that market share, no doubt about it. It's the NFL. It is an intriguing little move that they made.
Catch the program every single day on Evan TSY Radio and on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe back with you on this May 27th. Some optimism coming from around sports. Looks like we're headed back to some normalcy here. But before we move forward, we got to go take a look back. And of course, today we're going to be looking at May 27th. Of course, today is May 27th, 2020. So this day in sports history. Joe, you ready for a little bit of a reminisce back in time?
I am. I'm also wondering if we ever do get back to some sort of normal. Will Craig Mish be wistful come, I don't know, September to go back and see whose birthday it was in fantasy sports? I kind of wonder.
No. No. No.
You'll never want to do it again.
I wouldn't say never, but I mean, after doing this for a few months, it's, you know, I mean, I think that we're making the best of it. It is entertaining because we're bringing history to today and there are stories involved in it, but I don't necessarily know that with so many things happening at once in sport that this will be a prime subject for anyone.
I think
anybody watching, Joe, a television show or listening to a radio show or listening to a podcast with the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, potentially football, hockey, golf, and soccer are going to be interested in who won the Indianapolis 500 on this day in sports. I don't think so.
I think you're probably correct. Maybe I'll get you one of those calendars for Hanukkah this year that has like this day in sports, keep you busy, maybe keep in the bathroom. I don't know. But I think that's definitely the Hanukkah present I'm going to get you this year. And we've done a very good job of bringing, you know, old things into light for now, whether it be the lockouts or whether it be seasons that had strikes and things like that and how they affected sports. So I think it's very timely to go back into the past, and we've done a very good job. But that being said, what happened today, Craig Mish?
Yes, let's go back in sports. This day in sports, May 27th, 1981. Boy, this is one that, I mean, this player, it's really interesting, this story here, because I remember this, and it's very popular on blooper videos, that Lenny Randle, there was a bunt laid down, and Lenny Randle jumped on the ground in the infield in a regular game and tried to blow the ball foul. And I would say that, look, players are known for different things in sports, Joe, but Lenny Randle is known for only this. Like, this is it. Like, there's really no other thing that I can think of with Lenny Randle except for when he jumped on the ground and tried to blow the ball. In fact, I think that everything that he did since then, signing baseball cards, was all based on this one moment. I'm trying to think in baseball, in sports, I mean, I suppose if we really thought about it, we could come up with weird things that players are known for and only that. But this is the only thing that comes to mind with me for Lenny Randle.
Well, tune in next week for that segment, because whenever Craig has an idea like this, you know that it's going to up in the show, because he's like, well, we've got 2 hours to fill every day. So that's coming, boys and girls. Don't think it's not. I remember this.
As example, I'll give you another one. Like a funny sort of thing.
Rodney McCray. You just gave me one the other day.
Rodney McCray. Now, look, he's first of all, before I say this, I want to be very clear.
Okay.
Dan Orlovsky is doing a fantastic job on television. He has been great. I mean, a great announcer, really good analysis, and has been a great addition to ESPN. Dan Orlovsky is only known for one thing, as far as I'm concerned, playing football. running out of the back of the end zone. That was it. Do you remember that play?
I do.
Yeah, when he was on his 2-yard line and he was running back to pass and he just like ran completely out of the end zone to try. That's all I remember Dan Orlovsky for. And I'm so sorry, Dan, that that's what I remember you for.
I mean, what does anyone remember Joe Pisarcik for? You know, fumbling that ball and Herm Edwards picking up and running it the other way. And that was the end of the Giants' playoff hopes.
But Lenny Randle, this is it. That's all I know for.
Well, here's the thing about Lenny Randle. First of all, I'm trying to remember if he was successful or not with this.
They didn't allow it. No.
The ball actually moved. I thought the ball actually
he did blow the ball foul.
Yeah,
he
got the ball back out.
But they didn't allow it. Yeah.
But I remember also, I didn't see this happen live. I saw on the blooper reels for years and years. But then I remember in my childhood, Kevin Seitzer of the Royals trying to do this exact same thing. Also, the big controversy around it. But I want to say he was not successful. He got on the hands and knees and tried. And then it hit the base. And he was just kind of sitting there and kind of, you know, at least Lenny Randle got it out of that. up across the foul line. So that's something. At least he accomplished that. But you know what? It's better to have one moment for something fun like this than be forgotten altogether, isn't it?
Oh, no, for sure. I'd rather be known for something than forgotten for nothing. Yeah.
I mean, that's true.
Pretty much it. 1985, the Celtics beat the Lakers in the finals 148 to 114, which at the time was the most points scored in a finals game. Brian Wedman was 11 for 11 from the field, which also broke a record. And he had 4 3-pointers in the fourth quarter. Not a household name for the Lakers at the time, but the Lakers ended up winning that game thanks to him.
Yeah.
1997, now it's starting to come to me. Ken Griffey Jr., he homers for the 23rd time through the month of May, and he had the record previous to this for the most home runs through the month of May. And it did kind of make me go to Baseball Reference and Google a little bit. Like, Ken Griffey Jr. was Mr. April and May every single... It felt like Griffey was going to hit 60 every single year at the start of the year. This guy was just a fast starter.
Yeah, and that was great because then you could trade him for a whole lot because, you know, if he didn't follow through on the pays, at the very least...
50, you know,
but if he hit 30-something in the first half of the season, you only got 15, 20 left... You could make the argument that if somebody's going to overpay, you could get a very good deal out of Griffey. Ken Griffey Jr. was the first player I ever selected in a baseball draft in 1998. So there you have it. So you always remember your first, and Ken Griffey Jr. was mine. And he did have some incredible stretches too, where, you know, he just made it look so easy. That swing was so easy. His hands were so fast and the follow through was so fantastic. I whenever I think of Griffey, I always think about that home run in 95 of, I can't remember who it was, if it was Cone or somebody else on the Yankees in 95 in that playoff game where he hit that ball and it got out of that ballpark so damn fast. It was the old King Dome still. And it was just, he was an incredible thing to watch. And I know we have Trout now, but I don't know, in terms of the most fun to watch player I've ever seen in my lifetime. I know some will say Willie Mays or whatever it is, but in my lifetime, Ken Griffey Jr. was the guy that was always must see. And it was just amazing to watch someone be so good at something that's so difficult.
Yeah, for sure. Dario Franchitti wins the Indianapolis 500 in 2012. As I said, interesting for today, but maybe not for September. And in 2017, baseball inducted into the Hall of Fame Homer Simpson. Yes, Homer Simpson from The Simpsons, because of the Homer at the Bat episode, the 25th anniversary of it back in 1992. And I would say that this was a very good job well done. I think Jeff Idelson, who was the head of the Hall of Fame at the time, did a really good job putting this whole thing together. They brought back Ozzie Smith and Wade Boggs and the guys who were in that episode as well.
King Griffey's giant head.
One of the better episodes ever.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? In case you're wistful for that, Matt Stryker and I did our own version of this team on Diamond Bets of guys that we would like to put on a company softball team for Sports Grid. We each had a draft ourselves. So in this time where we're looking for fun things to do, we did this and it was inspired by Mr. Burns. And of course, my favorite part will always be Mattingly, shave those sideburns. You know, and by the end of the episode, his hairline's up here and he just doesn't know what to do. He just quits. Poor Donnie Baseball.
Yep. Didn't like that happening. No, for sure. Okay. So that's what happened on this day back on May 27th. Now let's hit on this day in fantasy sports birthdays. And man, we got two Hall of Famers right at the top. Frank Thomas and Jeff Bagwell, both born in 1968. I mean, who was better between these two players? I mean, it's pretty similar players when you think about it.
It's certainly an intriguing comparison. You know, I mean, we could put all the rumors aside and just look at them as players because at the end of the day, that's what they are. You know what? I think I would rather have Frank Thomas on my team. There's something about, maybe it just stems back to Little League. Maybe it's because I was one of the smaller kids. I don't know. But whenever you see that kid across the dugout who just looks huge, I think there's an intimidation factor. And that doesn't happen with grown-ass men. But I think it happened to grown-ass men when they saw Frank Thomas. Like, if you stand next to Frank Thomas, you're looking like, wow, I don't know what we're going to do here. I mean, could you imagine a pitcher, and then Frank Thomas comes up to the plate? I mean, Jeff Bagwell, very strong guy, very tough guy, terrific hitter. But in terms of comparable statistics, I'll take the guy who's a little bit more intimidating. And for my money, I think it's Frank Thomas. Hurt. Which way would you go? Yeah, I mean, with a nickname like the Big Hurt, I mean, come on. That's a nickname. Again, where are these great nicknames? They're never around. The Big Hurt, another good one. Who would you want, Bagwell or Frank Thomas?
Probably Frank Thomas. But Bagwell put together, well, I mean, Thomas won two MVPs, if I'm not mistaken, and Bagwell has one. But, I mean, it's the Bagwell probably better defender. I mean, I think that that's fair because Thomas was mostly a DH at the end of his career. It's very close, very close. I would probably agree and take Frank Thomas. But I would tell you that the lasting power was really hurt with Bagwell toward the end of his career. He just had to retire from injury. But, I mean, it's rare that you'd have a debate like this where it's like, I guess I would take either guy.
Yeah. I think you're right about the defense. I think Bagwell was a better defender, but again,
Bagwell has to be considered. That.
I'll find a very good second baseman. I'll find a second baseman with really good range, cover for Frank a little bit. I want Frank in the lineup.
Yep. 1972, Antonio Freeman, great wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers for many years and a Super Bowl championship as well. And we've got Danny Werfel, 1974, who was the Heisman Trophy Award winner and national champion with the Florida Gators. 1995, Yoan Moncada from the Chicago White Sox. Jose Berrios, 1994, good pitcher for the Twins. Hopefully players we'll be talking about soon. And then 1997, Daniel Jones. I have a feeling we may be mentioning Daniel Jones a little bit later in the show, Giants quarterback. Any thoughts on any of the players?
Yeah, sure. Daniel Jones, I think, is a very sneaky, good QB2. Better fantasy quarterback than a regular one. I know he had a lot of turnovers last year, but hopefully some fixes on that offensive line will help, as will a healthy Saquon Barkley. So I know Daniel Jones was not quite the disaster that a lot of people envisioned last year. A lot of people thought it was just going to be all, you know, gloom and doom. But you know what? He showed some athleticism. He showed some giddy up. And Jose Berrios, we were actually talking about him on Diamond Bets this weekend coming up, and we're talking about whether or not he's ready to take that next step and to be a true number one, or if he's just going to be the top of the Twins rotation. Is he a fantasy ace or just a 1A type guy? And I think that's a really interesting conversation to have. I'm curious, do you think he's ready to make that jump into that next grouping, or is he even capable? Does he have that next gear in him?
I'm not sure that this is
I'm not
that
sure.
Year.
I'm not sure. I definitely
but,
don't think this
but
is that
I
year.
Will tell you what, we could save the conversation for a little bit later because we got plenty more to come when we do our future player props. And Daniel Jones is someone that we'll be talking about a little bit later in the show too.
Indeed. Indeed. And a breakout year for Yoan Moncada. So happy birthday, man. That White Sox lineup, by the way, does not quit. I mean, you
it
go all the way
like
down.
It looks like it won't quit. I wish one time it would just work out like that.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, you're going from Anderson, Moncada. You've got Jimenez in there. You got Abreu. You got Encarnacion. You got Grandal. You got Robert. I mean, on. I mean, you know, at the end there, Garcia's at the 9 spot, but he could be Madrigal probably.
It looks good. Yeah.
I mean, that's
good.
A tough
one. It looks
lineup.
Real good, but you know what? They got a team in their division that's better than them.
This is true.
Wins hit 3 million home runs last year.
They did, but they've got some pitching questions of their own.
All right, we'll take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports today. When we come back, it's our season in review. We go back to 1989 and take a look at the NFL season from that year. You talk about a different fantasy season. Stay tuned. We'll have that for you next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. Before there were huge passing yard totals, before there was massive institution of instant replay and all these crazy rules being changed, there was just like a simple NFL, and really a time where honestly the NFL played second fiddle to baseball, and maybe even third to the NBA. And it really wasn't until the mid to late 90s where the NFL started becoming on everybody's mind more, fantasy, gambling. And so it's funny, you could look back and forget a lot of names in the NFL. And I think that part of that is, of course, that the NFL was a different game back then. But the other part still holds true, which is the shelf life for the average NFL player, Joe, is only a few years. So it's really interesting to go back and say, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Because unfortunately, such a physical sport simply doesn't allow the majority of the players in the league to play more than a few years.
Absolutely. And look, this 1989 season certainly had some all-time greats in it. An all-time great was taken number one overall in the draft, but this is also the year where you have the quintessential Montana blowout of John Elway in the Super Bowl, where they beat the Broncos 55-10. This was Montana's year MVP for Joe Montana. You know, we've talked so much about Brady, I feel like, these last couple weeks. And it's fun to kind of have a little chat about Joe Montana again and bring old Joe back into the conversation. Certainly a top five quarterback of all time. And I remember as a kid being excited for this Super Bowl. I was a big John Elway fan. I was really, you know, one of those first individual players you kind of cling on to in childhood. And I was a big guy to John Elway and the drive and all that stuff. And this is such a bummer of a Super Bowl. I was kind of like, oh, man, this is kind of crap. And it's also the first Super Bowl that I remember anything regarding gambling, because I remember my cousin just wanting the score to stay 55-10. That's I remember him wanting it to stay. And I was like, what is the big deal here? Because he had a five, I guess, was this end number. And he had money on the five. So I just remember that. And that was the first thing where I was like, huh. So I guess people put money on football. And there you have it. And here I am all these years later. He would be very proud, actually, of this. And this is a show I'm sure he would have watched. So I miss my cousin there.
I agree with that.
But did you have the first time where you ever became aware of sports wagering in your youth? Like that it was a thing? Because I think everybody has that moment. You're like, what's a spread?
I think college is really – well, fantasy went all the way back, like into elementary school. But I think college was when I started to really become more aware of it and bet and, like, place bets. Like, I'm assuming that somebody in my fraternity was a bookie of some kind. Like, I'm really trying to think it through. But I believe that was the case. And we just got a phone number. We could make a bet. And I think we got paid on Fridays, maybe paid out, and we had to pay on Tuesdays, something like that.
Otherwise, my cousin comes to your house, has a conversation with you. You know, it's all things.
Something like that. And I think at the end, somebody tipped me off. Like, I think the last week the guy was open, I want to say somebody tipped me off and said, "Hey, man, like no one's paying him, so you don't have to either." I was like, "Okay, I think I owed like the last week." I'm like,
"All right." Someday that guy's going to find you now. You're a big profile guy. You're a big star now, Craig. So you got to watch yourself.
Yeah, I remember calling like the score lines to get like the late NBA scores. Like, hello, thank you for calling the score line. Tonight's game between the Clippers.
You were really good at that. You missed your calling. You could have been one of those guys.
I think that was me. I think I was the guy.
Hey, everybody. It's 1-900. Get your sports here. Coach of the year. Check this out. You know, everyone, we talked a lot about Brett Favre recent weeks. We've done a lot of 90s seasons here, but this was pre-Brett Favre. Yeah. This is Lindy Infante, coach of the year of the Green Bay Packers. And a big part of that, Don Majkowski, the magic man, leading the league, get this, with 4,318 yards. So a lot of people forget about Don Majkowski, and if he had not gotten hurt, maybe the Brett Favre era does not start as quickly as it does. But the rest is history, as they say, and Favre never gave that job back. So pretty incredible to kind of sit back and go, oh, yeah, and I remember having cards of the Magic Man, and I remember that Green Bay team started to turn things around, and then Brett Favre kind of just never looking back after he took the reins of that gig.
Yeah, I would have never expected that. I remember Favre with the Falcons and thinking, oh, this is just like a guy that's never going to work out. And by the way, Don Majkowski was really good. So it's not something that I saw coming with Favre and having the kind of career that he had. But look, he never really dismounted from who he was. And honestly, he's one quarterback that right now couldn't play in the NFL. And everyone's going to go crazy. Oh, what do you mean he couldn't play? I'm not saying that he couldn't play. I'm saying that they would not allow him to play that style in the NFL. I mean, he basically was a better Winston. I mean, it's really what he was. He was throwing 20 picks every year.
You're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. But he made those big plays when they mattered the most.
They would not. In this day and age of the NFL, it would not be accepted.
He would have sat. You're right. Too many analytics. Yeah, I think analytics would have killed Brett Favre. It's actually a really intriguing discussion here. But you're right. I actually think there's a lot of truth to that. That they would look at him the way they look at Winston.
I mean, they're not in the same category. He was a better Winston.
Absolutely.
Because in the big moments, Favre would come through in every single one of them.
Right.
And his ability also to run with the football was incredible. His ability to find guys in the back of the end zone.
Well, also the leadership, the raw intangibles, how everybody loved him and followed him. Those are the things that, you know, kept.
Still wouldn't cut it now. You kidding me? A guy that, right, in today's NFL, Brett Favre would throw for 4,800 yards on the season. He'd throw for 46 touchdowns and 27 picks. And that's not going to be allowed. I mean, just go look at his numbers. I mean, that's what it was for 5 years.
All right. Offensive rookie of the year that year was Barry Sanders, who is obviously one of our biggest throwback guys here on the program. I was of the talk about. He had 1,470 rushing yards in his rookie season, but he did not lead the league in rushing. No, no. That was for the Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye, again. Great nicknames. We need better nicknames in sports. The Nigerian Nightmare, the Big Hurt. Can we please? Anyway, 1,480 yards for Okoye, and I remember watching him as a kid going, well, I wouldn't want to tackle that guy. He looks huge, and he looked bigger because of the roll thing he wore in the back of the neck there. He just looked like a freight train running loose, man. I know he didn't last too long, but those couple years where Okoye was there, man, he was a beast for the Kansas City Chiefs.
He was. And listen, at that time, you had Okoye, you had Marion Butts, you had Rod Bernstein, you had all those running backs in that AFC West that were just running over people. And Okoye was very good for a short period of time, like a lot of running backs, unfortunately.
Yeah. So great quarterbacks back then in 89, too. You had Warren Moon. You had Joe Montana, we talked about, obviously. But there's also it's the golden age of Dan Marino and John Elway. I mean, really, that was, to me, growing up in the 80s, man, like every time you looked around, there's one of these big time quarterbacks. And I feel like we're kind of going, we've had a really good run with this group too, with Roethlisberger and Brady and all of those. And they're starting to fade out and Drew Brees. And now you're getting this other group come through. And it's always fun to see every generation that has their quarterbacks leading in receptions with Sterling Sharp, obviously, to go along with the Magic Man, Don Majkowski. That's no surprise there. Here's a name for the past too. Total touchdowns, Dalton Hilliard. With the New Orleans Saints.
He was good. Good little running back.
He had 18 touchdowns, more than Jerry Rice and Neil Anderson. I remember Neil Anderson with the Bears. He was a big fan of him. And, of course, when you go back and look at the draft in 1989, some pretty good names there. Number one overall taken was, of course, Troy Aikman. We know how that worked out. A fair amount of titles for Mr. Aikman last time I checked. So this was one of the many picks, I believe, from the Herschel Walker trade, Craig.
Jimmy Johnson came in and he was, he was all over Troy Aikman. If I'm not mistaken, they had also just recently drafted Steve Walsh. So
that's right.
They had two very high end quarterbacks and they just quickly pivoted off Walsh and went right to Aikman. But Walsh was not good in his first year with Dallas and neither was Aikman. I mean, they had a really rough time. They didn't have anyone.
Here's a fun stat for you. Four of the first five picks that year, Hall of Famers. How often can you say that happened? So Troy Aikman, number one, number three, Barry Sanders, number four, Derek Thomas, fantastic linebacker, obviously gone way too soon, and Deion Sanders, number five overall to the Atlanta Falcons. Do you remember who number two was? Not a Hall of Famer and barely played. I'll give you a hint. He was an offensive lineman, and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Mandarich?
That's correct. Well done. Yes. Tell him what he wins, Brett. Tony Mandarich is indeed the correct answer there. But isn't that staggering? 4 out of 5 Hall of Famers to start a draft. I've never heard of anything like that before. Have you?
No. Yeah, I know. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So obviously some fantastic. And if you go actually a little later on to number 20 overall, Stephen Atwater in that same draft, also a Hall of Famer. So 5 Hall of Famers in the first 20 overall picks there. That was certainly a fantastic draft. And 1989 again, bummer of a Super Bowl, but a hell of a year in terms of just looking at, you know, football, like you said, kind of when it was still the tough guy sport, when it was still a lot about, well, if I can take the quarterback out of the game, that's a win for us. You don't see that anymore. It doesn't really happen. But those quarterbacks that were able to stand upright year after year, you have to think were really impressive. And how many careers were cut short, like Jim McMahon, because of guys who just kept hitting them and hitting them and hitting them after plays. And the rules have changed so much. But I would agree. You had an earlier assessment that NFL was 3 back around this time. Oh. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it was baseball, basketball, and then football. And by the way, distant third. You know, fantasy really changed football.
Absolutely.
I think. I mean, the more I think about it, the more I've come to that conclusion. That, you know, the amount of people playing fantasy and not really caring about their individual teams nearly as much just changed things.
It also became a more educated fan, because even the fans that do care a ton about their own teams and play fantasy, all of a sudden you became a lot more knowledgeable and a lot hungrier to watch all these different teams playing. And, well, I know this guy, I know who the third wide receiver is on the Lions now, and I know all these different players. So I think our knowledge and our awareness changed, and people watching games that they normally wouldn't watch because they had another investment, quote unquote, whether it be fantasy or wagering, that really did change the landscape. So fantasy has created, I always say this, a smarter fan base for sports, in some ways too smart for their own good at times, where they can't enjoy themselves anymore, which I think is sad. But at the same time, I think fantasy has overall not only been great for the growth of leagues like the NFL, but also for us as fans to find ways to connect more to what's going on. And I would say the average NFL fan is way more educated about the ins and outs and X's and O's of football between Madden, I mean, how much did you know about defense until you played John Madden football? I mean, honestly, I mean, that's what everybody really learned. Oh, what's a cover 2? Oh, it's that. Like, I think that really educated us along with fantasy. So look at that. Video games and fantasy football has made us smarter. Who'd have thought, Craig?
You never would have guessed that. But look, analytics are a big part of football also. Paul DePodesta, who is now, heading up the Cleveland Browns. There are a lot of very smart people who have come over from baseball to football. But I do think that the individual fans who bought season tickets, and I think there's still the same amount of people doing that. It's just more people are watching, and that's why the television contract for the NFL is so significant. Okay, we're going to have some fun coming up next. Joe has gone into the Pizza Pia garage and going to see if I can pick out some interesting sports collectibles. Potentially, we can do that. We've also got some news and notes of the latest on the NHL and Major League Baseball, actually, with some late news yesterday on what their proposal looks like going over to the players. Really interesting stuff. So we'll have that coming up next. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig and Joe, we're back right after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe here with you. Follow us on Twitter at Craig Mish, at Joe Pizzapia 17, and of course at SportsGrid. That's how you get us here on the show. Like and subscribe to the show over on YouTube. Set your notifications to on every day. As soon as the show is done, get it over to you. You can watch us every single day. By the way, make sure you catch Scott Farrell's show later today, Coast to Coast. That show is live now every single day, 3 hours a day, as well as in-game live. So make sure you catch all of our great programming here at Sports Grid. Despite the country being shut down, as it has been, we are continuing our content here at Sports Grid. And because we're continuing here on a sports channel and a wagering channel and a fantasy channel, without any of that, it forces us to come up with some good ideas, which sometimes end up being bad ideas on this show. And boy, we have had a lot of those over the last few months. So we're hoping that this is a good idea. But if it's a bad idea, it may end up being a good idea. So we'll just kind of have to find out. So, Joe, how are we doing this?
Well, look, like everything here, I always say when something gets mentioned here and we go, huh, yeah, that's kind of an interesting idea, it ends up being a segment. So if you watch, it's a show. It's a show about nothing. That's what we're doing here. It's a show about nothing. That's it. You know what the show is? It's just me and Craig talking. That's the show. But look, it's on the air and wildly successful, just like Seinfeld. I can't wait to see those syndication checks, by the way. I'm waiting for those. But we talked about yesterday about some of the baseball cards, and Craig made a statement. He said, I've seen everything, because, you know, he's one of those guys. I worked in the memorabilia industry. I picked up those big tables and put those legs out and set it up, and I was making change and doing all these things. Right. And he had cuts on his fingers from the plastic coverings and the little plastic sheets and things like that. He had them all. I know they're all true. So I tried to go through and find some things that maybe Craig's never seen before. Some of the goofier crap that I've got. I got a nice collection of things, but I've also got some goofy stuff, and I don't know why I held on to them, but here we go. Now, look, I know I want to get this out of the way first, because we talked yesterday about the holograms and how cool they were. So do you remember the holograms, Craig? Were you a big fan of the hologram when you turn the card and then Wade Boggs is swinging?
And he moves. Yeah, I've had a few of those. Those are sport flicks, if I'm not mistaken.
Is Craig correct? He is correct. Sports flicks. Well done. You can't get anything by Craig Mish. By the way, just for fun, here's Julio Franco. I'm pretty sure he was 63 years old.
It's not flicking great on television, Joe.
I'm sorry. Well, thanks for letting me know.
But people get the idea.
All right. There was also a brand of baseball cards that I always liked every year, and I don't know, you know, where they really came from. They were called Classic. Do you remember these?
Yes. Classic. Okay, So that's a 1990 version. So the deal with Classic.
Close. 1989, but who's counting?
That one wrong. So Classic was actually a board game in 1987. Right. And they came out with the first series. And then what they did is they just kept coming out with – they didn't keep producing the game, but they had these travel editions.
Right.
And so it would come in these little packages, and it was like the yellow version, the blue version. But the original one was 1987, and that was the green version one. And that has the one that has Bo Jackson in an Auburn uniform with a baseball bat. That's actually his first card that ever came out.
Now, I remember using some of those cards because I, as a kid growing up in Brooklyn, 1986, I had my 86 Topps baseball cards, and I created a game with dice with my dad. And I said, okay, you take the little pieces, and if you roll this, you get this. And this is what I did. And then a couple years later, that game was out there. But I used to bug my dad every time you come home after dinner, can we play the game? Can we play the game I made up? And I would start drafting a team of my favorite players. And I think that's where the fantasy madness came from, of me wanting to draft a team. And then I had all the little stacks of all the players, you know, different teams, different players, different positions and all that. You like that? We've also got a nice little 84 Dave Righetti. How about that? You like him? He looks good there. A little oversized card. And maybe a guy that never should have been, or maybe the argument is he was so big he needed an oversized card. This is the biggest card I've ever seen. This is a Gorman Thomas 1986
That's
Giant
big.
Blow. That wow. is big. Just for perspective, here's a regular card, and here's Gorman Thomas. Now, I know he was a big man.
I mean, why and how did you end up with that card?
I don't know, but I got a whole buttload of these. They're hilarious. This one, obviously, the funniest of them. By the way, you want to guess the weight of Gorman Thomas on this card as listed? Just for fun?
235.
210. Are you buying that? Are you buying the 210? Over under on the 210, Craig Mish.
No, great player with the Brewers. But yeah,
you know, mustache waist.
I got to say, I think, is that bigger than a 5x7 or no? It is, right? It's like almost 8x10?
It's not 8x10, but it's pretty big. I think it might be 5x7 or close to it. But I think because of Gorman Thomas's mustache, it really kind of comes out.
Yeah, I never had any of those, so that's new for me.
There you go. See, fun things here on the program. We're always breaking new ground. Here's a fun one here. This is something that I don't know if you remember. This is, again, I'm a little younger than you, but they came out with this series called Baseball Talk, and it came in these packages
like
this.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. Oh, my goodness. He knows it. So they were cards, right?
Right.
They were cards of players, but on the back, you see, there were these little things, and you could put it in the little player, And it would tell you stories. Now, here's the thing. I'm old now. I don't know. Maybe there's only a certain amount of room in my brain. But did the Tony Gwynn one, was it actually Tony Gwynn talking to you in like Tony Gwynn voice where he's like, ah, I'm
no,
so excited.
No, I don't remember. That I can't confirm. I don't remember that.
Hey, Tony Gwynn, I'm a great hitter. You want to learn about hitting? Oh, geez. Like, I feel like that would be, I wish I had the player still. I don't have that.
Yeah, maybe it's I have a few of the cards. I do not have the player.
The player. That's what it is, Jerry.
We got to get our hands on one of those players and play it for the show.
Here's some.
What did it cost on eBay? $2?
Probably, right? You know what? That just for the amusement of hearing what they say is worth the
It may be worth a $5 investment here at Sports.
the shipping and handling. Here's some awful pins I found. I mean, look at this. This is a Jack Clark from the late 80s. Look at that pin. My goodness, Jack Clark.
Is that a pin or is that a button?
Oh, actually, no, this is a button. I'm sorry. I do have some awful pins I can find, too.
I have that button another set. One.
Mike Marshall, he is not happy to be there. I can tell you right now, Mike Marshall is not impressed.
Yeah.
Just not impressed at all. Were you a pin collector as well?
Not really, no. But I did have a set of those buttons. I had a set at some point. I may still have
What's the point of the button? I understand the pin.
I'm not sure, man.
How did we degenerate to the button? What the hell are you supposed to do with this thing? You can't put it on anything. I can put it on my head.
And there was a time where they used to have the players inside the bottles of Coke. Where you'd open it up and then you'd see the football player in there.
Speaking of players inside of food. Now, I remember very much so. My grandma used to always buy Ringdings for my grandfather.
I know what's coming.
And on the bottom, they had all the cutouts, right, of the ball players. And I was like, Grandma, listen to me. You got to save the things in the
box. Don't throw away the box.
You didn't understand. She was like, what are you talking about? Okay, the baseball player. All right. So I would go there and she would cut it out for me and everything. But this is one that I didn't even know I had. Everybody had the Drake's Cake guys. Everybody had those, right? But this is one I don't remember. This is Kraft. So I can only assume this was part of a macaroni and cheese promotion with Fernando Valenzuela. I guess he really enjoyed mac and cheese. But there you go. A Kraft baseball card. And a Dave Winfield to go along with it. Now, Craig Mish, have you seen this before? Got it?
I've seen them. I never had those, but I definitely have seen them before.
Yeah.
What's most interesting about those is that they did not have the licensing of the teams. They have the blank hats on. Yeah.
Dave Winfield plays for the New Yorkers.
He plays for something.
Los Angeles,
the blue hat team. Another blue hat team. It's like they airbrushed out the logos. I think there's companies now that still don't have team.
You know
access.
What's funny? I noticed it and I didn't. And you just saying that makes it all the much better. Also, I was a big fan of these as a kid. I don't know why they were stupid, but you know, again, so am I. The mini cards, which we talked about, the little leaders. And on the back,
I thought those were going to just blow up in value, and they are so worthless. I was like, wow, this is the future mini cards. Because remember, in 1975, Topps had those mini cards, and they ended up being really good. But no, those are worth nothing.
Oh, yeah. Roger Clemens, they're not worth anything except they're cool. And here's Glenn Davis. Remember Glenn Davis when he was good for 2 years before he got paid millions of dollars to the Orioles?
Too low, by the way. Oh, you're showing us too low.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here you go. How about that? Okay. I just always wonder what happened to Glenn Davis. Like, I imagine he's just loving life somewhere. Here's Greg Maddux as well. Little Greg Maddux action.
89 mini there. Look at Greg Maddux. Looks like he's like 16 playing a loop.
I know. He wants to know if he could borrow the keys to the car.
Wow.
That's where he's at right now. All right.
Way back.
So we're not doing too well. We can't find anything that he hasn't seen. Do you remember these? These were stickers.
The Gorman Thomas seemed too big for me. I don't remember seeing that size.
Too big, yeah. Small hands. He couldn't hold Gorman Thomas.
I don't remember seeing that.
All right, here we go. By the way, I think this is going very well. I'm just going to put that out there.
Listen, I haven't even asked Brett how much time we have left once.
Which is a first, by the way.
That's a good sign.
Oh, there he goes. Thanks, Brett.
3 minutes, he just told me. There you go.
All right, so here you go. You remember these? They were stickers, and you had like a sticker book. But on the back, boom, Greg Jeffries to disappoint you as a child. You see this? There you go. And then here's Bo Jackson, too. You would peel the sticker off, and then you put it in the sticker book, and you collect
all
the cards.
I got my son the sticker book for 2020.
Oh, they still do the sticker book?
They still do it. Absolutely. Oh,
that is tremendous. That is brilliant. All right. This is just for fun. A little minor league baseball. A little Kevin Moss action for you.
Everybody had a Kevin Moss.
Everybody had a Kevin Moss. How about Steve Avery, where he kind of looks like John Rocker's brother a little bit?
Card there.
What's that about? Why does he look like John Rocker's brother? I don't know. We might have to do another
Avery
round of this.
Was one of those guys you thought that was, you know, Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz, and here goes Steve Avery. Had like two good years.
All right. Now this is, look, I don't know what to tell you here. We're at the bottom of the barrel trying to find something you haven't seen. You were talking about Garbage Pail Kids, but did you know that there was a baseball version of these? Did you know this?
Maybe not. You may have stumped me on that.
Here we go.
Okay. I've never seen that
Baldy
before.
Bob. So there you go. This is from 1999. I guess it says collect all 99 stickers. This is made by Leaf. I don't have a year on these, but they're horrendous.
I have never seen that in my life. This is all new.
But they're all, look, Billy the Brain. I guess it's like Billy Martin because he's wearing like the A's colors.
Right.
I don't know. But this was like a hybrid. I can only assume they're from the 80s. Maybe we can carbon date them. I don't know. We'll send them off to Brett. Maybe we can.
Yeah, we got to figure this out.
See what happens.
You may have stumbled on a gem here.
Hard Luck Harry. I don't know what Hard Luck Harry is, but it sounds like
not doing well with his foot there.
He's not. He's on the IL. He's having some issues there. But I tried very hard to stump you and look through.
No, you did. That was it. You saved the best for last because I've never seen that before.
I've got a whole other pile of stuff. Maybe another day.
All right.
But I did find a few things that Craig.
Well, thank you for doing the work on that.
You know, next week, instead of doing a show, we should just play those sports talk cards.
I agree. Just sit there. Just put them
in. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Gwynn. Oh, shucks. I love to hit.
Let's do it.
I miss Tony Gwynn. He was great.
All right. So, I think it's time for us to take a time out here and end the first hour of this show. But we got plenty more to come. We're going to look at some NFL props on some players and update you on the latest going on in the NHL and Major League Baseball when Fantasy Sports Today continues right here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. So make sure you don't go anywhere as we're back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.